It is time for the Media Beat with David Terachuk. David joins us on a Friday morning, and we rebroadcast David on the weekend, also after our 12 noon news block, one day during the week, next week. Of course, you can always find David on the line on demand here at robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand, the Media Beat. But David also has his own terrific website, themediabeat.us. He's also a PBS television correspondent reporting on ethics and belief. And today, we get the call from the man in, well, he's not in the continental United States, that's for sure. Good morning, David.
Good morning to you, and I will say good morning. And I will actually say, you know, pleading for forgiveness from my current host, I will say top of the morning to you. The Media Beat this week comes to you from Dublin, it is actually the afternoon in Dublin, but I couldn't resist that stereotypical Irish greeting, I'm afraid.
All right, well, you know, I guess the first question that and the avenue that we're going to go down is, I don't watch much TV news, but I did watch what happened and what developed here at the U.S. Capitol this week.
Well, of course.
And I my impression is to go to you now as someone who was actually over there looking in, but who also has the advantage of knowing what people in the EU and in Europe think because of your background. And what's the interpretation that you see that... well, we'll put everything, England, Scotland, and France, Germany. What are they all thinking right now about what happened?
There is it's a good question. There's a certain unanimity here in Europe. Ireland, of course, is very much part of Europe, and it remains part of the EU, the European Union, in a way that Britain doesn't now. It's a week only since Britain left Europe, but of course, it's still the British Isles, or, although the Irish don't like that particular description of us hanging off the northwestern end of Europe rather uneasily, because Britain's out of Europe and Ireland is proudly still part of Europe. It's a little imbalance created. I say a little. I mean, there's a great deal of imbalance created right now, and it's a situation that is still to work itself out in practical terms, but once again, the difference between Ireland and Great Britain is stressed, and of course, the six counties of the north of Ireland remain part of the United Kingdom, so it's an uneasy situation at the moment. That's all we can say about that, but as I say, there's unanimity when it comes to all of us here, looking across the Atlantic, back at the United States. I think everyone is shocked, horrified by this rampage through the seat of parliamentary government, the legislative branch of the United States government, and can scarcely believe that it happened. But on the other hand, well, it was, in a sense, bound to happen. Many people are saying that there was nothing really, there was something terribly shocking, but there was nothing terribly surprising about what happened on Wednesday. Enough warnings were given by the Trump supporters that they would be spoiling for a fight of some kind. 1776 was the chorus raised by many people publicly, quite openly, meaning that there would be a fight, that there would be a resort to violence. And that, of course, is exactly what happened. And there's an awful lot of people in authority now being reported fully here in Europe saying that they didn't expect it to go this way. Well, there was plenty of evidence on which to base an understanding that it could well go that way, and precautions that could have been taken were not taken, and we saw the result of it.
You know, I sit here, and at one time in my radio career when I was very young, my boss came to me and wanted to move me from afternoons to the morning drive slot because there was an announcer in the morning drive slot that had been there a long time, and he wanted to replace him. And I didn't take the job, and I told the general manager why I wouldn't take the job, because the station allowed this person to run the show the way he was running it for 15 years. And they never once told him or gave him any advice or anything like that. They just let him do what he did. And he was, you know, he was, and plus the guy was a nice guy. And I said to the general manager, I just can't take this because no one's ever disciplined this guy. No one's ever given him any direction. And to just go after 15 years and say, goodbye, you don't do this the way we want to do it, wasn't right to me. And anybody that looked at the Trump administration, whether you don't like Donald Trump, whether you do like Donald Trump, you knew going in that Donald Trump was a 70-year-old guy who basically has never had a boss but himself. And you knew how he was going to run the government, and it turned out that way. And you also knew that he was not going to go easy. It's just the way it is. And the Republicans, just to get their judges, and they were successful with that, put up with everything and backed him right up until the final moment. Well, now, everybody is coming down on him. And I'm going to say he is a creature that has been formed by the Republican Party and the American public. I mean, what did these people expect to happen with a guy who's never, ever, ever had a boss, never mind run the three separate branches of government? What were people expecting?
Well, exactly. I think the parallel is a loose one, but I think still applies that if you have a bully and the bully is enabled, then the bully gets his way. And as you say, you know, how else could it possibly have gone? I think the last days of a flailing administration are an illustration of some very basic truths. And Europe, looking at it from across the Atlantic, is, as I say, shocked but not surprised, and the coverage here is drawing an inevitable conclusion that maybe a little extreme, but there's a coalescence around the thought that these last 12 days could be very dangerous. The Guardian newspaper, never exactly hysterical, but on the other hand, you know, is certainly left-leaning and never a sympathizer to any degree with the Trump administration. But the way it's choosing to paint the portrait of these last 12 days is remarkably serious. I'll give you a direct quote from The Guardian, published across the Irish Sea from here, but sells very well here. The newspaper is a well-supported paper here. It says that there's a grave national security threat posed by the last 12 days now of Trump's term, and those are serious terms in which a newspaper could possibly case this, and the Guardian has chosen to case it in just those terms, quoting plenty of American sources, not ones that you'll be surprised by. They're quoting former Republican Congressman Joe Walsh, who, you know, from Illinois, who is no longer Republican. I mean, he's actually endorsed Biden, so it's perhaps not surprising. But the nature of his complaint at the moment is an intriguing. Well, it's a serious-minded one. He's gone so far as to say, we're not safe with Trump in the White House. This is, you know, casing it in terms of national security. A serious way to do this, but that's how a serious-minded newspaper is tackling it over here.
You know, and now I'll move on to what did Donald Trump think was going to happen?
Good question in itself.
Well, because, you know, he basically has been his own boss forever. Okay, and so now he gets his supporters, and there's, you know, hey, 70 million people voted for him, 74, even though 84 million voted for Joe Biden. 74 million people voted for this guy, and he goes to a rally, and he, once again, he has never learned the fact that the President of the United States is totally different than anybody else in the world. What you say is amplified 5,000%. And when you stand up there, and before you get up there, you have Rudy Giuliani say, let's go to battle. And Donald Trump says, you've got to be strong to take our country back. Well, guess what? He unleashed all that pent-up anger and energy that has been back behind him, and he kept it pent up like a pressure cooker, and then he expected it to not go away. Well, you know, guess what? He has lost control. I mean, right. he doesn't control those people. His words, his meanings, all gave these people what they thought was the authority by the President of the United States to go out there and stop what was happening. And now, with his mea culpa, because even Republicans are talking about replacing him right now before his term ends, his mea culpa last night, which was pre-recorded and put out, I don't
and
know.
And tightly scripted and read very carefully from teleprompter, yes, indeed.
Do you really think that's going to hit home with the people he has amped up to a fever pitch for the past 6 months?
We must have our doubts, absolutely. When a man of Trump's kind and his own conditioning and the fact that he has been enabled to indulge in all his usual autocratic tendencies over the last 4 years, then it's no surprise that when something blows up in his face, he doesn't quite know what to do. I mean, it seems that for a brief time, at least, he was listening to his advisors and perhaps to his own family. It seemed from reporting that The Guardian was doing again, they've been quite careful about this, and they've got some support from reporting done by the New York Times too, that that the Trump family, Ivanka in particular, and her husband Jared Kushner, counselor himself to the president, were telling members of Congress to watch the Trump statement on video that was coming out because it would be reassuring. Well, I'm not sure how reassuring it would be, but it was clearly evidence of people surrounding Trump recognizing that they've tipped over some really important tipping point here and have to do something serious to rein in their supporters. Now, whether they'll get reined in, whether they'll get reined in or not, is a very open question now that we've got to this very serious point. Again, this is a somewhat biased source. It comes from the Lincoln Project, which, as you know, is made up of both Democrat supporters and indeed long-term Republicans who are anti-Trump. But Kirk Bardella said, and this is something that The Guardian was keen to point out too, talked about Trump finally getting one kind of punishment he hasn't had over the last 4 years, which he was actually barred from Twitter, though only temporarily, of course. And Bardella says Twitter decided that Trump shouldn't have access to his own Twitter account, and yet this is someone who has access to our nuclear launch codes. There's an incongruity here. I think that must be the understatement of the year. Yes, this is the man who, indeed, for the next 12 days at least, still has access to the nation's nuclear launch codes. And there is definitely, as you say, unity amongst not just Democrats, but some, at least Republicans, saying that it is time for him to go one way or another, by impeachment again, or by the 25th Amendment being invoked and him being replaced by the vice president for these last 2 weeks, or indeed his own voluntary or involuntary self-resignation. I'm not sure how likely any of that is. But it's very interesting that it should be that so many people in prominent positions should be talking in those terms right now, including, of course, Nancy Pelosi, who's quite open, she says, to the possibility of impeaching him a second time, making a second attempt at this, even in the short time that remains.
Well, it's and what I think Donald Trump is going to find out now is that the QAnon beast that he has been feeding hope to and information to is not, they're not just going to stop. They'll put him on their list, and I really believe that the QAnon folks will somehow try to disrupt what is already a disrupted handover of power on the 20th, simply because, of course, of COVID-19. I really think that he's going to find out that he doesn't control them anymore, and they feel that they have a right to do what they're doing, and I think that they'll continue to try to do what they're doing. And then when you take the House members, the six people between the House and Senate of the Republican Party that continue on with what they're doing, hoping they can now get those 70 million voters on their side. They have no idea what they're dealing with. It's like somebody who wants to fix their electricity at home and not hire an electrician. They think they've seen it, they can do it. I think we have massive problems still ahead with QAnon and the conspiracy theory people as you come to a new presidency.
Yes, there are lots of old sayings from India and other places that it's very dangerous to try and ride a tiger. That's clearly what's happening here. That lesson may be learned by the current rider, though you know he may sound chastened in that particular piece of video that was put out overnight. But I have a feeling that he may well go back to believing that he can rein in this rebellious creature that he's been in large part responsible for creating, even out of office. He will inevitably be the natural choice for some people, at least, to continue to represent that 70 million people. But as you say, there are other people vying for the position. And it's certainly not a done deal about who will be the kind of in opposition leader of a loyal opposition, is sometimes a phrase that's used. I mean, I don't know how loyal you can call 70 million people who have their active representation presented by a rowdy crowd who defiles, in the words of the so-called leader who's no longer leading, would actually go into the Capitol and do what he called defiling the seat of American democracy. It's all very uncertain, but I think all the signs don't suggest that this, if force that has been unleashed, is really controllable.
Well, that's the whole thing. And, you know, the sad thing about seeing the last time our capital was attacked was by the British, for God's sake. And you look at it now.
The heavy irony, indeed.
Yeah. And that this story now has eclipsed some incredible stories out of Georgia, where the Senate representation out of Georgia would be a black pastor and a young white Jewish man.
Almost as remarkable that Georgia should return a Jewish person to represent them in the United States Senate as it is to return a black man. That is an extraordinary development. You're right. And it's of course, the last few days, this story, as you say, has been eclipsed by the much bigger story coming out of Washington. But the Georgia story is certainly a big one.
You look at the way this works out, that gives the Democrats a very slim, but it gives them control of the House, of the Senate. It changes the whole picture for the Biden administration, which is something that should be reported on in depth. But because of this unbelievable scene at the Capitol, that is like story number, and it's hard to believe, story number four or five on the list. But there's some dramatic changes coming in this country. And I think those dramatic changes, and with the Democrats having control of the Senate, the Congress, the Senate, the House, and the White House, will only go to infuriate those who did this even more, and I just you know, you don't know what to think. There's that big question mark out there. Well, you know, Donald Trump has been kicked off Facebook for until after the inauguration. But you just know something out there. There's a threat out there, and you just don't know where, when, or how.
Yeah, the auguries for the Biden administration are not strong. They're not firmly in the positive column. They all three arms of government are now of non-judicial government, at least, leaving out the court system. All the rest of the governmental system is under democratic control, but it's not exactly strong control, as you say. Only the presidency of the Senate, held by the vice president of the nation, Kamala Harris, if she will be, after January 20th, that's all that will ensure that the Senate remains guided by Democratic wishes as opposed to Republican ones. But overall, it means that the governance of president, as he then will be, President Biden, will be a delicate matter. He'll have to tread a very, very careful path. He's noted in his history for maybe being a little loose-mouthed at times, but I think his judgment on the whole is going to be called upon to be as judicious as he has ever been in his history, which sometimes has been considerable. So sometimes he's been known to make some gaffes. But I think we're going to have to rely on the judicious nature that Joe Biden has demonstrated he is being capable of. I just want to add something from the island of Ireland. It's worth saying that when Biden is building this administration of his, here's a piece of news that probably has not rated very highly in America right now, considering, as you say, how many other important items of vying for that list of front page lead stories. Here it is. There's an Irish speaker, a Gaelic speaker, being nominated to the Biden cabinet. Did you know that?
Not really. Who is that?
That's Marty Walsh, the mayor, current mayor of Boston, who is first generation American. His parents were Irish immigrants. They came from the West of Ireland, and they spoke Irish, and so does Marty. But he's a representative of, I think, what Biden himself called and promised to provide, which was the most pro-union administration. Marty Walsh's history is that of a trade union organizer. He led the Confederation of Building employee, construction industry employees. So he's a union boss, and he's a very, you know, has a long history of trade union negotiations in Boston area. So he'll be an interesting addition to the forces of the Biden administration at the cabinet table, and a strong union man.
And the final sad thing that I want to bounce off you is when it comes to the inauguration of the president, yes, people love to turn out and see it, and they love to watch it and everything like that. But this year, I'm afraid that people are going to want to watch the inauguration on the 20th to see what happens with QAnon and the other protesters. I think the interest will be that, because the stage has been set for a pretty dramatic ending of the Trump presidency and beginning of the Biden presidency. And unfortunately, Americans, when they watch races and when they watch, they love to see accidents. It's, you know, I hate to say it, but that's part of the thrill of watching some of these events. And the election of a president isn't a sport. It is a very, as we have just learned, as Barack Obama said before the last election, elections have consequences. This is a very crucial time. Would you say this is one of the most crucial times America has now entered in the past 100 years?
I would say so. And the train wreck syndrome is of course well known, and many people will be turning on the TV to see the inauguration ceremony, fearing the worst, and being fascinated to see how bad it could be if it is interrupted. But of course, there's an awful lot of locking, bolting of the stable door after the horse is bolted. those big protective fencing posts are being put up as we speak in Washington right now around the Capitol area, 7 feet high, and allegedly, according to the Defense Department, they're unscalable. Well, we'll see, I suppose. But that's the hope that at least the security forces and security officers of the D.C. area, whatever jurisdiction they come under, will be better prepared than they were for the protests that eventually overwhelmed the Capitol Police.
Well, all I can say is that next week when we talk, hopefully we can talk about the myriad of other things that the news media has covered or hasn't covered and how they cover it. Once again, we'll speak to you from Dublin again next week.
Yes, I'll be coming to you from Europe.
All right, David, thank you very much. David Tarachuk with the Media Beat here on Robin Hood Radio. And, of course, you can find the Media Beat not only live on the radio and rebroadcast on the weekends, but on our on-demand page, which is robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on David Tarachuk, the Media Beat.